Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
You're tuned in to the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, without my co-host, Andrew Missing Newman. Today's show is engineered and produced by Jack Inslee.
Hello.
And Carlos, without a mic.
Yeah.
It's hard to do a radio show without a mic, but he manages.
He manages.
Yes. We're broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. You all knew that. If you can't listen live, all the shows are archived or podcast is available through iTunes. And if you're listening now and you have a comment or a question, call, or maybe Andrew should call too while he's missing, 718-497-2128. We'd be happy to chat with you while we're streaming live. Today's show is we're going to talk about restaurant finances. We're going to talk about what a mess most of those restaurants are when it comes to their books. This came up this week. My neighbor, where my office is a restaurant, and they're looking for a bookkeeper, temporary bookkeeper. So I sent over somebody that I know who went in and met with them, and she got back to me, my friend, to tell me that these people are a disaster. And it's a common story, unfortunately. Their books and records, their accounting books and records, are atrocious. And there's many, many reasons. But the main reasons are restaurateurs don't really like to sit down and do bookkeeping. And they really don't have a head for it. They're often very creative types who aren't really into numbers, aren't really into business management and the details of the numbers. They're more interested in, I don't know, poofing up your celery or something, right? So they have they don't put much importance on those numbers. Well, they like to know the numbers, but they don't put much importance in by hiring the right people. There's a lot of people out there that call themselves bookkeepers that are pretty lousy. And restaurant bookkeeping is a little more detailed and specific and a little more complicated than the average business because there were very tight profit margins. So you have to get the numbers right and you have to keep the records in good shape in order to read your reports and understand what's going on in your business. So the first thing that I'm going to stress when you want to run a restaurant and understand what's going on financially is you got to get some sort of software. Generally, most people use, small businesses use QuickBooks, and it works pretty well. But, you know, the garbage that goes in, if you have a crappy bookkeeper, you're going to get garbage reports out of it. So you have to make sure that the person who's doing your bookkeeping knows what they're doing, and an accountant will be able to tell rather quickly once they start to spit out reports from the program. So what you got to do, if a lot of restaurants don't even have bookkeeping systems, QuickBooks. They do everything through the checkbook, through those Z tallies from the cash register. They kind of have receipts all over the place. They pay some things with cash. They pay some things with credit cards. They pay some things COD. They pay all sorts of ways, and it's very complicated, and it's hard to capture all this information. That's why first you got to get a good bookkeeper. But a restaurant that's not properly set up or using the correct software or not putting in the information correctly is really flying blind. And they really have no idea what's really going on with their restaurant and how profitable or non-profitable it is. And frankly, most restaurants don't really make a lot of money. There's a few restaurants that make a lot of money, but a lot of restaurants fail within the first year or two. I think like 90 to 95% of them fail. So it's a very, very tricky business. And the profit margins, as I mentioned, are very small. So there's very little room for any error. So the one thing to do, the first thing to do is to get good software and to get a good bookkeeper. So you, as the owner, know what's going on. And you can actually make smart decisions So when once the numbers come out, you know how to make good food. You know how to hire good waiters, servers, cooks. But you're not really good at keeping your books and records. And this is going to this could sink you. Everybody knows that financially, a restaurant, you know, is going to be a difficult endeavor. The next thing you have to do is analyze how profitable you are in relative to your food course or your drink course, both actually. You have to, those are called your gross profit margins. That means how much does it cost you to serve the food, cook the food, prepare the food, serve the food, and the liquor. And those are very, very important numbers to know, because those are the ones where you can tweak. You can adjust your expenses through your food costs and your liquor costs, but you can't adjust all the other costs, some of the other costs, I should say. So the it's very, very imperative that you actually understand what you're buying, how much you're selling, and how much is still left on the shelves when you do your measurement at the end of the month, at the end of the week, at the end of the day, which means what's left in inventory. Because if you spent $10,000 buying meat and cheese and you only sold half of it, you can't say, well, I sold cheese and meat and I made $20,000 and it cost me $10,000. That's not true. It only cost you $5,000 because you still have $5,000 of your costs on the shelf. So it's really important to understand not only your costs, but also what's left in your inventory and measure it. You know, also when you have good reports, you can determine whether you're overstaffed or understaffed, and actually who's doing a better job or a worse job, who's a good employee and who needs to go, because labor costs are very, very expensive in a restaurant. Again, there's not much room for a lot of profit. So every little expense has to be analyzed that you can control. You can't control things like rent and utility and insurance. Those are kind of fixed costs. So you have very little wiggle room when it comes to that, but you have a lot more wiggle room based upon your food costs and your liquor costs. If something isn't very profitable, then maybe you should stop making it and selling it. Those are things that so many restaurateurs have no idea, because they don't even know how to price their food. So that's the next thing. Pricing your menu. Very, very, very difficult for a lot of people, because, you know, there's a lot of different components going into your food. So what do? You go blind. You make up a number. You look at what your competitors are doing. You go by how much you can squeeze the customer. This is not a good way to do pricing. You have to sit down, and it's very hard, as I said, it's very detail-oriented, to figure out how much it's actually costing you to put this food on the plate. The average restaurateur thinks that they know how much it costs, but when you sit down and actually look at all the costs associated with it, they're often pretty surprised. And that's when you can decide, well, you know, this is costing me too much, or this is not very profitable, or vice versa, this is very profitable food and I could sell a lot more of this and eliminate some things that don't sell or aren't good profit margins. There's also things that you can cut out in a recipe that may be a little expensive or unnecessary, but you won't know this until you sit down, analyze your menu, analyze the cost of all that food, determine what's left over at the end of the week, and you can't just come in and raise your prices willy-nilly, because your customers will not tolerate. They may not even say anything when they come in and have a very expensive meal or expensive dish. They just might not never come back. It happened to me recently. I was in a restaurant and, you know, they come over and they give me the specials. So I ordered one of the specials, and when I got the bill, I was horrified, because the special was almost twice the price as an average entree. And I was floored. I mean, the entrees were running in the low 20s, and this special cost $38, which was just off the charts. It wasn't even lobster thermidor or anything outrageous, you know. It was just another fish. And I vowed that I'd never do that again. When somebody comes in, some restaurants do give you the specials with the prices. And if they don't give me the specials with the prices, I ask for the prices to determine. I don't want to be surprised. You know, certainly most meals aren't worth $38. You know, I'm willing to pay $25, but I'm not willing to pay $38 some days. Okay, so after that, after you've tortured yourself because you have to look through all these details and analyze all these expenses and pull your hair out, if you can't do it, get somebody who can do it. Pay for somebody to do it because it's worth it. This is important information that you need to know to run your restaurant. So, and you need to update this information regularly, weekly, monthly. Don't let it go past there. You know, cost of food changes regularly. And you can sometimes, a dip in a price can make something a little more profitable and start making something a little differently. Or an increase in a price, you might take it off your menu until you've either come up with a new recipe or figure out, take it off your menu until the price comes back down, or you could do something else with it. So as I mentioned earlier, you got to do the inventory counts to determine really your cost of goods. Like I said earlier, a $5,000 inventory on your shelves will change your profit margins dramatically. You have to count for this stuff pretty often. So you can, it also helps you look and see what's going on with theft and breakage and other missing things that could happen with your inventory. You might determine that your inventory levels are too high and you can't afford to keep that much inventory in-house. So you might decide to start buying less, buying your inventory more often, spending less amount of money more frequently. So this way you have better control and things stay. You'll be serving things that are fresher and it won't be subject to obsolescence, theft, and bad cash flow, because if you put too much inventory on your shelves, you're using up your cash that you might need to make a payroll or buy something that you might need more important. So inventory is a key thing, and most restaurateurs really work hard at this. Having stale bread or cheese that's molding is worthless, and you have to throw that out, and that's not going to help with your bottom line. As I said earlier, daily and weekly financial data really needs to be collected. Certainly daily, you know, your sales need to be looked at daily and determine your food costs on a daily basis. You're going to know that on Monday and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, your sales and your costs are going to be lower, and you got to pump it up for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can review it and increase or decrease your labor depending on what your volumes are. So this is really important. And all these reports come out of your accounting package, your bookkeeping package. So it's all there available to you to analyze it if you have good data entry and you're keeping good records. You can buy software to help you determine some of these things, but most of the times all of these cost calculations can be done either through your software like QuickBooks and a spreadsheet analyzing how much it costs to make things and how much it costs to run things, you know, things like that. When you have financial statements that are posted in the wrong place, it misleads the reader. If you have your insurance, suppose you buy an insurance policy, professional insurance policy, you know, in case somebody slips or falls in your restaurant, a liability insurance, or somebody gets sick on your food, and you pay, I don't know, let's just say $5,000 for the year, and you pay for it in January, and you post that full January $5,000 payment, it's going to distort your financials unless you allocated each month, because that could be for a year, $5,000 a year, and you allocate $5,000 over the next 12 months, which is a much more accurate way to read your financial statements. So there are things like that that you need a good accountant and a great bookkeeper to help you understand these things. And so when you get those reports out of the machine, you look smart because you can make smart decisions. And one of the things that I find very frequently in restaurant businesses and all other businesses, the owners don't know what's in their bank balance. And they often rely on when they look on their online banking or they go to the ATM, they say, oh, look, I got, you know, $4,000 available. You know, that's not a way to run a business and determine what you can buy and how much money you're making. That is really the lamest way to run a business. So I strongly recommend that you don't operate your business based upon your ATM balances or your online banking balances. So we're going to take a break for now, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about restaurants, about Restaurant Week and Number Nuts, and we'll see what we come up with. All right? Each night at 9 o'clock, her chariot is across town, the
bus that stops right down the block. Now the old piano minstrel plays a tune as she walks in, and the queen of the silver dollars home again. She's the queen of the silver dollar. She rules the smoky kingdom. Her scepter is a wine glass, and a bar stool is her. Jesters flock around her, trying to win her favors, to see which one will take the queen of the silver dollar home. Now the royal dress is satin, it's shabby and it's torn. The royal jewels are rhinestones, the shoes are scuffed and worn. Of the many roads she's been there, places that she's seen, well, they all look at her and say, God save the queen. She's the queen of a silver dollar. She rules a smoky kingdom. Her scepter is a wine glass, and a bar stool is her. A man who found her and he brought her to this world.
Today's episode of Flash Talks Cash was brought to you by White Oak Pastures. White Oak Pastures cattle are raised in a manner that has stood the test of time. It begins with southern sunshine, unpolluted country air, and fertile coastal soil. The cattle are allowed to roam the pastures and graze freely on sweet native grasses all of their lives. For more information, visit www.whiteoakpastures.com.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're talking about the restaurant finances. So we spoke that whole episode, I mean the whole 15 minutes prior to this without Andrew. Andrew's here. Say hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Hi. So now we're going to talk about New York City Restaurant Week. I am sure that Restaurant Week has been spoken about on this radio station a few times this week. Right, Jack?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about
it. Start?
It's next week. And we're going to talk about it in regard to whether it's a good deal or a bad deal. And next week it starts all over New York City. A lot of restaurants, a big list. Go on to the website and see the long list. And there's some very fancy restaurants and some what they say, fancy pants restaurants and, you know, good restaurants. And for $35, you get a 3-course dinner. Or for $24.07, you get lunch. So I have participated in Restaurant Week through the years.
Is it a set menu?
Yeah. Price fix, set menu. Well, there's choices.
But they have certain items on it.
Yes.
They price out their own menu, give you a menu at $35.
Correct.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been going on for, I don't know, 20 years
or so. Is booze included?
No.
Oh, okay.
So
why not do it?
So what happens is, so a lot of the good restaurants get on board and attract some people. And it's very hard to get a reservation to the good restaurants. But, you know, through the years, like I said, I've gone, and frankly, my opinion is I'm sure there are good deals out there, but a lot of them are mediocre menus. Like, well, you said, the restaurateur puts up what he or she wants on the menu.
No, they figure out how to make it work.
Right.
Within their
dollar.
Yeah.
But
I'm not going to give you anything off the menu at $35 for 3 courses.
Well,
that makes no sense.
Well, it used to be where you could really get a deal. I'm going to get a good meal. And there are still some out there that make creative menus for this week.
And they write off the difference to advertising or something.
Well, I don't know what they write off the difference to.
Because you lose a lot of money.
You lose
a lot of money.
Well, or they cut the portions so small.
Most of these places, the portions aren't probably very big anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not like they're cutting their portions. I would
Right, but it's a three course meal. So three courses, you should be full at the end of three courses.
Oh, it depends.
But
what you're
three
getting.
Courses for $35 in New York City doesn't
really
go far.
That's really cheap.
Right.
That's like one course at a restaurant.
So
usually.
You know, I know that I've been and I've walked out and I have not been full, and I'm not even a big eater. So through the years, like I said, I've done this a number of times, and
that's
I haven't
where you
gotten
drink
to,
heavily.
I haven't, and then if you throw alcohol on top of it, or you go a little bit off the menu, before you know, with tax and tip and a liquor.
The regular meal.
It's $60.
It's a regular
you know,
meal.
It could be $60. But you know, I have through the years said it's not worth it. Though some people wait for it and call and get a reservation to the fanciest restaurants because they would never go to those fancy restaurants unless it was this deal. Works for some people.
I feel like you're just shortchanging yourself at that point. Like if you want to go to a restaurant, go to a restaurant. Just plan accordingly.
Well,
because you're not getting the full effect.
You're not.
It's like going. It's going on vacation when there's deals. You're not going to get the best vacation. You get a deal because it's not the right time to be going on vacation.
Well, it depends on your priority. If you don't care,
I'm saying if you want to go based on price rather than when it's optimal or getting the best thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get the best thing
that
they're offering, that this place offers.
So the restaurants that make them attractive, you may not get the meal that you would get.
You're not getting the meal that made them famous.
Correct. But sometimes there are some good
I'm
deals.
Certain
there are some restaurants that do put out a great $35 meal.
They're not going to put out some crap product. Because, Eric, you don't want people going out there and be like, hey, I went to so-and-so restaurant
lousy.
And it was like crap. Like, really? I've had plenty of meals there where it's been fantastic.
Right.
Like, if you preface it by saying, I went for restaurant week, a lot of people are probably like, oh, well, that's why.
Yes.
That's like going to a clear out, a clearance, and getting, it's like going to Walmart and being like, hey, why are my clothes falling apart after a week? It's like,
well, not quite.
Not quite, but
you can get a good deal. There are some good deals, but there are some, like I said, some mediocre deals. I frankly don't need to get on the phone and call and go to these fancy restaurants during restaurant week. I personally would, like you, would rather just go when it's just ordinary business, pay the full boat. But some people don't feel that way, and so it's a good deal.
It's not that much more expensive.
Well, I don't know. I can't say.
Honestly.
You know, it depends on.
Honestly,
$35. You get what you pay for. You're going to get a $35 meal.
Like, honestly, if you go out to dinner, you get maybe an appetizer and an entree.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. That, you know, that's a lot of food usually.
Yes.
For me, that's a lot of food. And you know, a couple of glasses of wine. So right there, very expensive place. Maybe $40 on food.
Right.
You know, $12 and $25 and $30 for an entree. I'm looking at $40.
Right.
What the hell is the difference? Why are you going to go add some more crap on it? For 35 to save $5,
I don't know. Well, people, it's a ritual in New York City.
Do you then go out and just drink water? Do you just go out and drink water then?
I don't know what those people
like. That doesn't even seem like a savings.
Oh, maybe that's a good idea. If you go out and drink water with your $35 meal, you really got a deal.
Then you made some money.
You know what? That's going on next week. See if you like a fancy restaurant. Chances are you're not going to get in now. The reservations are probably all booked. But you know, if you want to give
they're probably giving you specific times for those reservations as well.
I don't know that.
You're probably getting the early reservations.
No, I think I'm not sure.
Did you like preface yourself by saying I'm coming for restaurant week?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think you can order the price fix, or you can order off the menu, so your table can go either way.
Like
I don't
a stigmata?
Think it's. I don't know.
I got to say, too, I mean, you can save money not drinking wine at all these restaurants.
I'm saying, if you go to
any time.
Exactly. If
that's
you want to go out to dinner.
That's the real way to eat out and do it, you know, cheaply.
Yes.
If you really want to save money, you can go out and get like a $40 steak.
Yeah.
And it's the same price. As long as you don't drink.
You don't even have to do that. Yeah. You get a great pasta dish for $16.
I'm just saying, like,
expensive.
You go over the top at like a restaurant, order the steak, like a T-bone or something for like $35.
Mm-hmm.
Not that bad.
You'll probably eat more food than you're getting at this prefix thing. It's all about the drinking.
It is.
Well, that's where they make more money now at this point. Yeah.
The food is not where you make your money. It's all in the booze.
Yeah.
Your better percentage is on booze. Plus, the food has the kitchen staff involved.
But see, you take a date to a nice restaurant, you got to get the wine, right?
No, I don't.
No, well.
Well, it depends on the date. If they don't know what the hell's going on, buy the glass. If they do, you go with the bottle, Jack.
Yeah. Amen.
Jack, you had to bring up that subject.
What, drinking or dating?
No, you're dating.
I'm not dating. I am not
drinking.
Right.
And
I have never
drinking
dated.
Drinking and dating.
I don't drink or date. I am the most boring person ever. The hell is that?
That worked out good, Jack.
What is that?
Shut him up.
I don't know what that is. I've never been on a date. All right, now I'm
can
just lying.
Can we go now to Number Nuts?
Now I'm just lying.
Can we go to Number Nuts?
I don't know what that sound was.
We're going to tell you afterwards.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
That's the new way that I'm gonna calm things down when they get too crazy on this show.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think we're gonna get crazy anymore, Jack.
All right.
Good. Now I have some Number Nuts. It's kind of a Number Nuts. It's restaurant tricks that make you spend more money. Do you know them? Anybody here know them?
I could probably What's figure that? Them out.
All right, let's see. What do you think?
Are we just listing things?
No,
or?
I'm going to ask you, but I thought maybe you knew off the top
of
your head.
Let's get a real question here first.
All right, all right, all right. So let me say, on the menus, do you dollar signs, are they on the menu or not on the menu?
No.
No.
Why?
It associates a value with the product.
Yeah, it's true. I was so surprised. Leaving dollar signs makes the menus a little more abstract and less threatening.
Yeah, you don't see a number.
Absolutely.
You don't see a dollar sign. You don't think of actual money.
Money,
you don't
right.
think of your bank account, yeah. right?
Interesting. Okay, descriptive names. When you name the products on your menu.
No.
Wait,
don't do it.
I'm not. People are more or less likely to purchase the item when they're descriptive.
What do you mean
or
by
creative?
Descriptive?
Creative titles. You know, describing a hamburger or a steak or something.
Less likely.
Less or more likely to purchase that item?
Less likely.
I'm more likely, but everyone else says less. Carlos says less.
No, well, you're right, Jack. They're more likely.
That's not true.
They're more likely. And how much more likely? What percentage more will they spend? Will they spend 5%, 10%, or 25% more?
I would spend 25% more.
I would put less on there and let the server describe the product because they would then be able to sell it.
No, I can't pay attention when they talk. I'd rather look at it.
But okay.
Well, honestly, then you don't know. You don't remember what was in it, but you hear a few key things that you like, you'll purchase it.
Yeah. So the answer is the average person will spend 10% more when they have a description of their food, okay? The next question I have is the background music. Background music. So now I want to know, slower music. Will customers spend more or less time in a restaurant with slower music?
Oh, no, you definitely bump up the beat. They turn
easy.
It over.
This
Come on
is
now.
Easy.
Let's be realistic.
And this is an issue near and dear to our hearts here at Roberta's.
Hard and fast music.
Hard and fast music, people will spend more or less time?
Less.
Less time. Yes. So slower the music.
That's they'll right. be there forever.
Longer
forever.
The time. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely
That's
right.
That's why at bars you keep the music slow. Because then people just sit there and drink.
Yeah.
And at a restaurant, you speed it up so you can get them in and out.
When you play slow music, how much more in sales will the stores or the restaurants see?
Oh, wow.
6%, 21%,
wait,
38%?
Slow music. Yeah.
How much more will it increase your sales?
It's not going to increase your sales.
6%, 21%, or 38%?
It doesn't increase your sales.
21%.
Wait, you're saying it increases your sales by playing slow music?
Because you're sitting there for a long time.
You're
you might get
more
another
money.
Bottle
no, you're
of
not.
Wine.
You're
you
spending
might,
more yeah, money
no,
in,
you're not.
In a store and a restaurant.
Question. At a restaurant, first 45 minutes, how much money do you spend?
I don't know. Probably well,
most
the most.
Of the
most of your money.
Spend, yeah.
Next 45 minutes, how much money are you spending?
Well, what happens if you stick around?
But
you have
music
a dessert.
Is slow, the conversation.
You have
doesn't
more
matter.
Right.
If you could get another person in that seat, you'll make a lot more money.
Well, according to the study, it's stores and restaurants. Stores and restaurants. The longer they stay in the store or the restaurant, the more they spend. 38% more.
But a fresh customer will spend more money.
Well, I'm just telling you, okay?
I'm just
if you have
you,
empty seats. If
oh,
you have
fine.
Empty
if you have
seats.
No one backing that person up, then sure, get them out. If you,
he but, argues with everything.
Honestly,
so the next question is, do people consume more or less when their drink is given in a short, wide glass instead of a tall glass?
Wait a minute. Short, wide,
a short, wide
tall.
They
drink more or less when they're given a short, wide glass
short, wide
versus
glass.
A tall,
less.
Thin glass.
They drink
I'd
slower.
Say less with the wide glass.
They drink slower.
Yeah.
People consume larger amounts when they're given a short, wide glass.
Really?
That's,
really?
That's what it says.
Interesting.
That makes no
now,
sense.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
If you drink it, it goes down quicker.
Bartenders.
You would drink more.
Bartenders tend to pour more or less of the drink of the alcohol. In the drink with a short wide glass or in a short wide glass? More or less?
Probably more in the short glass.
Oh, it should be the same.
Should be.
It should be, but it's not.
More,
I'm telling
more
you
in
it's
short,
not.
More wide glass.
I don't know.
More in more, the short wide glass.
Yeah, more in the tall glasses.
No, more in the short wide glass.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have the reason for that. Okay. Here's the last question.
Go ahead.
When a restaurant offers two sizes of the same item, a small salad and a large salad, which is what the question is, which is the better deal? For two people, should you order two small salads or one large salad?
One large.
I don't know. It depends on how much
one
more you
large,
get.
One
well,
large.
At the general restaurant offers two small salads or one large salad.
Sorry,
Jack says the large one for two.
A small salad.
Well, the answer is one large one. And the restaurateur only has to put a few extra things on a large plate. It makes way more
depends
money.
On your plate sizes.
Well,
Wait a minute. You're saying it favors the restaurant when I order the one large instead of the two smalls?
The cost of the extra ingredients for the largest salad is negligible. Yeah. And the extra money...
Okay, but what about... I'm saying...
You're getting more product with the smalls.
Am I getting a better bang for my buck with that one large salad?
No, you're getting better bang with two small salads. Depending on the pricing, Jack.
Yeah, depending on the pricing,
You get more quantity with two small salads.
That was Carlos. That wasn't even me.
That wasn't necessary, dude.
Wow. Boy, everybody's into noise.
I think that was Carlos' way of telling us the show is over.
So I think we're over. We're going to say goodbye this week, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Thank you.